Recently, the National Geophysical Data Center published the first ever atlas of artificial brightness. This picture from space of the Earth at night shows an overwhelming presence of man-made light in the night sky, an enveloping glare over the entire developed world. According to the center, so pervasive is artificial light that 2/3 of all Americans can no longer see the Milky Way from their backyards. The center's atlas illustrates, according to a growing group of dark sky advocates, the need to find a better balance between light and dark.
There's a reflex that more light is safe, more light is aesthetically pleasing, more light is attractive.
David Liebel is a faculty associate at the University of Wisconsin. He works to reduce the unwanted glare and wasted energy coming from the mostly unregulated use of ever brighter commercial and security lighting.
No one is trying to turn the lights off. All the organizations that I'm aware of that are working to improve the quality of the nighttime lighting environment recognize that good lighting is very, very necessary. But there is a very strong feeling that night lighting is getting out of control, and that pretty soon we're going to be living in daylight 24 hours a day. And what people are trying to do is to stop that trend.
Up until a few generations ago, it was every single person, every single living person's birthright on Earth to see the splendor of the night sky. Nature has set it up for eons. Life evolved in that there was darkness at night and light during the day. And we cannot all of a sudden change that.
You might call Tina Tevenin a missionary of darkness. Her rural neighbors in the Mississippi River town of Lake City, Minnesota, call her the Queen of the Night for her impassioned advocacy for the benefits of greater darkness, as she tells this group meeting in her home.
Our use of artificial light at night came because we saw a need, but we didn't quite put it into the context of what are we doing with nature? How are we changing it? Now we are discovering that we have been paying a price.
David Liebel points out that there are a number of costs associated with the loss of darkness. For example,
people began to notice that during the migratory season, large numbers of songbirds were being picked up off the sidewalks first thing in the morning. And as it turned out, as these birds came through large cities, they became confused by the glare and lighting of the skyscrapers and would often fly into those clear glass windows and die.
Another cost is to human health, for it turns out that the absence of light is necessary to the healthy functioning of our body's hormonal and immune regulatory systems. And, of course,
there is also the cost to humanity of losing the natural heritage of the night sky, the sense of place in the universe. It breaks our connection to nature.
The most direct cost of overlighting the night sky, however, is in dollars and pollution. According to the International Dark Sky Association, it costs $2 billion a year in the U.S. alone to light the night sky solely for the benefit of those viewing us from space. That translates into billions of pounds of wasted coal and the additional pollution and greenhouse effects that come with it. However, according to dark sky activists around the world, there are solutions to excess night light. Those include greater use of full cutoff fixtures that aim light downwards rather than up into space, greater regulation of lighting as advertising, an acknowledgement that brighter lights do not always mean greater security, and an increased sense of personal responsibility for the lights we may be inadvertently shining into our neighbors' windows. Standing atop the bluffs overlooking the Mississippi Valley under a sea of stars with Tina Tevenin, it's easy to see why she and other dark sky advocates preach the gospel of darkness as a balm to too much civilization.
This is what people remember. We can go out in the country and experience the darkness, which is so soothing, so beautiful, so peaceful, so much part of our inheritance. It is phenomenal. We've got to save that.
For the Great Lakes Radio Consortium, this is Ed Janis.